Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear Father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? And under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? The purport. It was known to Sri Narad Muni that Lord Brahma attained creative energy by undergoing severe austerities. As such, he could understand that there was someone else superior to Brahmaji, who invested Brahma with the power of creation. Therefore, he asked all the above questions. Discoveries or progressive scientific achievements are therefore not independent. The scientist has to attain the knowledge of a thing already existing by means of the wonderful brain made by someone else. A scientist can work with the help of such an awarded brain, but it is not possible for the scientist to create his own or a similar brain. Therefore, no one is independent in the matter of any creation, nor is such creation automatic. Amagyantimidandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Namo om Vishnu padaya Krishna pastarya bhutale Srimate bhakti charu swamini tinamine. Namo om Vishnu padaya Krishna pastarya bhutale Srimate bhakti vedanta swamini tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschastari Satarine Vancha Kalpatrubhascha Kripa Sindhubhayeva Chapatitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnabe Bhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai. Dear Prabhus, I humbly seek the blessings and mercy of the assembled and unassembled Vaishnavas today and all the eternal days to come, for you all are indeed just like desire trees, and you are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls such as me. When I read this little verse, I was reminded of a child asking questions. Of course, Narad Muni is no child. And he asks these seemingly simple questions to us all. He asks these for the benefit of all of us. He obviously knows everything anyway. So here, Prabhu is in this fifth chapter, entitled The Cause of All Causes, of this second canto. Sukadeva Goswami relates a story wherein Narad Muni asked Lord Brahma the same questions, and Brahma explained that he creates the entire universe, this entire shebang, as it were, after the Lord creates all its ingredients and impregnates material nature with the seeds of the living entities. So just that statement, in essence, answers these questions. And so here in this fourth verse, Narad Muni is asking his dad, "Okay, dad, what's going on here? What's the source of your knowledge? I don't think you're the supreme. But what is the source? So, of course, that's none other than Lord Vishnu. So the answers are pretty much the same. Under whose protection are you standing? Again, it's Garbhadakai Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. Under whom are you working? It's the same answer. And what's your real position? Dad, what's your real position? And of course he says, well, I create, but I'm a jivatma at the end of the day. I'm not even special. I'm jiva tattva. And of course, do you alone create? No, not particularly. So it's nice. In one sense, Prabhu, it's nice that we have landed ourselves and scheduled on this particular verse today. And why? Because it's a very, very important and auspicious day today for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Tis the appearance day of none other than our Srivas Pandit, the fifth of the Panchatattva. Panchatattva ki jai. And of course, who is he? Who he is? No, none other than Narad Muni himself. So nice that, you know, it's coincidence that we're at this verse. Of course, I must say that it's not just the appearance of Srivas Thakur, for it is the appearance, the 63rd appearance of His Grace Pranabandhu Prabhu, who right now is in India somewhere, traveling and visiting the holy dharms. He's just dispersed ashes of a devotee in Mayapur. So he's there. But we think of him today as well. So Prabhu's in the previous chapter, chapter 4, Pariksit Maharaj asks about the creation, and Sukadev Goswami prays to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord, for the empowerment to speak about the Lord's pastime of creation. A lot of information is given on creation and the creative impetus. And so now in the sixth chapter to come, it's a very important chapter. It's the famous, very famous chapter on the Purusha Shukta. So if any one of you are priests who are doing yajnas, then, you know, it's an important chapter for you all. You know, whoever's doing the yajnas, because Purusha Shukta prayers are chanted. Even Gauranga Mahaprabhu at Sri Bhashangan, he would chant Purusha Shukta from the Bhagavatam. So these prayers in essence glorify the Supreme Lord for being simultaneously one with and different from His creation. Mm. Everything rests on Him, yet He is aloof. Completely aloof. And so Lord Chaitanya, in Sri Bhashangan, he will chant these, and by meditating on the Lord's universal form and by offering sacrifice with the ingredients from the Lord's universal body, Lord Brahma recreates the universe. At the beginning of each and every day. Now that's quite a task, because each day is 8.64 billion years, and so Prabhu's the duration, you know, of Lord Brahma's ayu or life is 311,040,000,000,000 years, and so if you were to think of, you know, how many times he has to bring up the planets up again from the Garbhodaka ocean, because, you know, at the end of each day, they sink. And at night time, virtually half of the time, Lord Brahma does have to rest, as we all do. So he does, you know, he crashes out. And at night time, to make it simpler for his managers, because, you know, he has to deal with 14 individual managers at night, and another 14 is on autopilot at night it's autopilot, and then at day another 14. So in total, he's dealing with 28 different managers every 50 flipping minutes. Now, if it was one of us in that position, we'd be nervous wreck. But he's dealing with different managers, different manus. And so he's quite expert by now. By now, he's expert. Because, you know, he's created again and again some 36,500 times. In total of his life, he will recreate, bring up the planets some 36,500 times. He's already done it 18,250 times already. So he's kind of mastered it. It's not his first attempt. And so because this chapter is all about the cause of all causes, dealing with yoga processes, there's three themes in this chapter. Yoga processes, the universal form, and creation itself. And so let's just quickly go through the process of creation, because it's truly quite fascinating. Some personalities, like, you know, Radha Mohan Prabhu, are obsessed over it, and he'll do many, many seminars on it. But just to quickly go through it, and when I come into the temple room and I take darshan of that painting, which is one of my favorites, it's just been refurbed, so it looks a bit more, there's a lot of light there. And so that, in essence, is creation. The nucleus of the creation is Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. From there, everything else manifests. And so in that painting, you see the colossal space just, you know, covered by the nucleus. So from there, we have the avatars, the quadruple expansions. Krishna expands. I call it the VSPA, the VSPA. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha, the quadruple. Sankarshan then expands, Mahashankarshan, Aniruddha. Prajumna, incidentally, is also Cupid. He is Kamadev personified. Which is all important to us, isn't it? Of course, not to the brahmacharis. May they be oblivious in the ways of Eros. That's why I say to the brahmacharis, may they be oblivious. I wish I was. I'd like to be. Or do I? It's an aspiration. It's an aspiration. For it's so very essential. However, there's so much blackness in this heart. If I have one, that is. Anyway, that's Sankarshan expands on all the Narayan forms. You can see, even in that painting, it's like countless, you know, Vaikuntha planets there. If you were to count, there's like, you know, okay, maybe 100 or so planets. But it's unlimited Vaikuntha. And of course, Mahasankarshan, you know, he expands into a colossal expansion of Mahavishnu. Karnadakshai Vishnu, technically speaking. And there he is over there in the corner, occupying somewhat 25% of the creation. And then from him, he again expands into Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and each and every bubble that comes out of his, you know, body, we see. What I'm reminded of when I was a child, and my son when he was a toddler, you know, we give him this bubble thing. Remember the toy which you blow bubble through, you put fairy liquid into the bottle, and then bubbles come out. We were at Radha Desh one time, and he was at it, And it was, you know, in Radhadesh, the courtyard, and so many bubbles are coming out. And of course, some of them are bigger and some of them are smaller, depending on, you know, the how much energy you put into the bottle. And our bubble, our sphere, which we are situated in, is a small one. It's considered to be the smallest. And it's coming out of Mahavishnu's right toe. And as soon as it comes out, it pretty much goes back in. It comes out, travels a certain distance, comes back in, and as soon as it touches that toe again, it obliterates. You know, blows up. Just like, you know, the soapy bubble, you know, some of them travel. And then in this instance, they come back. When they hit the body of the Lord, boosh, explosion. That's how it is. And it's mentioned that our little bubble, of course, to us, it's humongous. It's 4 billion miles in diameter. Just 1 billion miles of it is full of water. The Garbhodaka Ocean, the depth of it, the deepest part is 1 billion. And then the rest of it is space. And from there, you know, the planets are coming up and down like a yo-yo effect every day. In the evening, they sink down. Then Lord Brahma has to, you know, bring them back up. Of course, down again, Lord Varaha does appear, and he does, he, you know, he rescues the earth. Anyway, so it's mentioned that the 311 trillion 40 billion years is just half a second of Mahavishnu's time. It's called a amesha. Amesha means a blinking of an eyelid. An eyelid, when it blinks, it's in a one amesha. And that is Mahavishnu's time. So you can imagine that soon as Mahavishnu, of course, he's always in, you know, he's in samadhi anyway. He's pretty much oblivious. But when he blinks, our universe comes out and it goes back in. It travels a certain distance, which is pretty much insignificant in the whole scale of things. And then it goes back in. So this is, in essence, the cause of all causes, which is what this chapter is, the creation. And then, of course, if you could all imagine that if a universe were to come out of Mahavishnu's head, how colossal that would be, how complex that would be. For ours, it's a four-dimensional universe, the smallest. But if a universe were to come out of Lord Mahavishnu's head, this universe would travel a colossal distance. And then when it would come back in, the commotion of it. Because you may have 1,000 dimensions, 10,000 dimensions, 1,000,000 dimensions. For us, it's inconceivable. And this, Prabhu, is all in the material realm. We haven't even touched upon the spiritual sky. This is how complex things are. And yet we tend to underestimate the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so when Lord Brahma is answering these questions to his son, as it were, he's thinking of this, that, you know, I'm so insignificant. Sky's the limit. But anyway, Prabhus, we can go on and on about this subject because it truly is very fascinating. I've just, you know, summed it all up in a nutshell. But today, more importantly for us, it's indeed the appearance of Shribas Thakur Ki Jai, Panchatattva. So we must say something about that, for we only have 25 minutes left. Well, 27, and less, if I stop for questions. So జయ జయ శ్రీవాసది యత భక్తగణ కృష్ణ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు యాన్న ప్రాణ ధన. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద లార్డ్స్ మెనీ డివోటీస్ భక్తగణ హెడెడ్ బై శ్రీవాస్ ఠాకూర్. శ్రీ చైతన్య ఇస్ దేర్ లైఫ్ అండ్ సౌల్. So Srivas Thakur is such an important personality to us. Srivas specifically means the home of glory. The home of glory. Sri means glory, glorious. That's why we say Sri to everything and everyone. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. Glorious. And Vas means home. So it is the home of glory, such is the meaning. Narada, we have to talk a bit about Narada because he is Srivas Thakur. Narada means the devotee of Narayan, the topmost devotee of Narayan, one can say. Narayan, nar means tap. Even in Gujarati, you know, it says tap. But Narayan means that tap which never closes. It's unlimited. It's referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's Narayan, Narad, and Srivas. The appearance of the great Thakur, the great Pandit, was in 1456. I say AD, of course AD doesn't really exist anymore. It's BCE or BE or something like that. But anyway, I still refer to it as AD. 30 years senior to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, 30 odd years. And he appeared in the district of Srihatta and is the son of Jaladhar Thakur. Jaladhar Thakur. His mother's name has not been given to us, or I haven't come across it. And so, in 30 years being senior to Mahaprabhu, Srivas Pandit has four brothers. And they are Sri Ram. They're all Shris. Sri Ram, Sri Nidhi, and Sri Pati. And there was one other brother called Nalina. Which very little information is given of him. So there are in total five sons, which the great Thakur Jaladhar had. And of course, the consort of Srivas Thakur is none other than Malini Devi. Malini Devi is so very important to us because she is the epitome of motherhood. She is the mother of Lord Nityananda in particular, and the relationship between the two is truly quite unique. When Gauranga Mahaprabhu had appeared, by that time, Srivas Thakur and his family had settled in Nadia, in Navadvip, and they would get very, very, very close to Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. And so Gauranga Mahaprabhu accepted them as their parents. They were like parents. And on many occasions, Malini Devi, who was very close to Sachimata, or who is very close to Sachimata, would give her advice how to raise young Nimai. Malini Devi, she would, on a daily basis, cook for Lord Nityananda. She cooks for Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda, on a daily basis, goes to Srivasangan to have his lunch. Even during the rainy season. In the rainy season, when the Ganges would, you know, overflow, and there are crocodiles, you know, more than 12, 15 foot long crocs. And Lord Nityananda would jump straight into the Ganges. And he would wrestle with the crocs. And everyone else would be in panic station. They'll be panicking that, my God, the Lord's going to be eaten up. And the crocs would go round and round, and the Lord would wrestle with them and have a good time. And then when he's had enough of them, he would go then to the banks, get up, go to where Gauranga Mahaprabhu is situated and seated. Mahaprabhu is just observing the activities of Lord Nityananda. And Mahaprabhu turns to Lord Nityananda and say, so have you had your fun now? You finished with the crocs? And on occasions, Mahaprabhu would ask for Lord Nityananda's kaupins. And he was wet. Mahaprabhu would say, go and get dried up, give me your kaupin. And so, you know, Lord Nityananda, being so very magnanimous, would just give the kaupin, and Mahaprabhu would strip the kaupin, like when we do when we have abhishek during, you know, auspicious occasions, on the Ted Pujari, our Gadadhar Prabhu, you know, if he's merciful to you, then you may get a strip. And Mahaprabhu would strip and distribute to the devotees, and the devotees would be in absolute ecstasy. And then, of course, Lord Nityananda would think, okay, I'm hungry now. I've got to go to Shiva Sangan. So he would go and say to Balini Devi, Bam, I'm hungry, feed me. And on one occasion, he appears there, and his mum is in great anxiety. She's in tears. She's so much in anxiety, and he asks, what's the problem, mum? Who's upset you? Why are you crying? And Balini Devi, he says, well, you know, what's happened is this black crow turned up. And in the courtyard, you know, there's a beautiful courtyard. Who here has been to Shiva Sangan? Some hands going up, wonderful, thank you so much. Of course. When you go to Shiva Sangan is 600 feet, according to the books. It's 600 feet away from Jogapit, the birthplace of the Lord. 600 feet. That's all it is. And anyway, when you go there, it's such a beautiful, beautiful place. I last visited in December 16. What is it? My God, 16. How many years is that? 6 years. Well, 5 years and a bit. 5 years and a quarter. So we all need to go. When you go there, so this crow flies in, and this crow, she's Jai Shri Shri Radha Goklananda ki jai, Sita Rama Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gonitai Bhagwan ki jai, Shibas Thakur ki jai. So this crow, she's explaining to Lord Nityananda that this black person turned up, this black crow, and he flies in, and he flies straight to the altar, and he grabs this pot of ghee, the crow with his beak. He must have had a beak, nice beak. Grabs the pot of ghee and then flies off. And this pot of ghee is so important to us because the Thakur Shribas uses the ghee every day for the puja. So when he comes back home, he's going to be so upset with me. He'll just chastise me because I allowed this bird to turn up and take the ghee away. So what am I going to do? And because of that, you know, I've not been able to cook anything for you. So Lord Nityananda, he says, oh, don't worry about that. That's a simple thing. So the Lord then goes out towards the edge of the courtyard, as it were, and he summons the bird, the black crow. Of course, by this time, this crow is miles and miles away. God knows where he is. But the Lord summons this crow, and this crow then comes back. And as he's summoned, and the Lord says, well, go and bring the ghee. Go and bring this pot. It's silver. It has great value. Why the heck did you take it? So the crow then flies off again, brings the pot of ghee back. The beautiful, sacred, auspicious pot. And then he delicately places it where it's meant to be. And then he flies off again. And so when the great Malini Devi observes that, she is truly elated. Yogamaya is somewhat removed, and she truly then understands the position of Lord Nityananda being Mahasankarshan, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and she then chants a series of prayers. And at the end of each prayer, I won't go through all the prayers because time is limited. At the end of each prayer, she mentions that for you to bring back the pot of ghee is no miracle. For you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are Mahasankarshan. And if you get the opportunity, these prayers are there. There are 8 prayers in total in the Nityananda Charitamrita provided by us by none other than His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj. If you had, any one of you have heard Maharaj's lectures, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, they are so acutely full of Chaitanya Prema Bhakti. It's just, anyway, intense, if you listen to them. So such are the pastimes of the mother of the Lord, the consort of Shribas Thakur. Shribas Angan, the residence of the Thakur, is also exceptionally important to us. It is known as Kol Bangadanga. Kol Bangadanga. And many pastimes are given to us. And Lord Nityananda specifically performs his Vyasa Puja there. The Lord has an elaborate Vyasa Puja. He is the Adi Guru. So, you know, elaborate Vyasa Pujas are performed in Srivasangan. There are specifically 3 pastimes. Now, as we know, in the evening time, Mahaprabhu would very much perform his sankirtan there. And prior to that, prior to him taking initiation in the Gaudiya sect, Mahaprabhu, as we know, Nimai Pandit, is a scholar. And on many occasions, when the Thakur Shribas comes in contact with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu is walking towards the Ganges with 6 of his best students. You may think that Vishwambhara Prabhu is one of the best students of Mahaprabhu, most possibly. 6 of his students he's walking with, and the Thakur Shribas encounters. And as soon as Lord Nimai takes darshan of the Thakur, he pays obeisance because he's an elder. In the Pancha Tattva there, we see the Thakur being like a bhakta, the youngest. So when we take darshan of the Pancha Tattva, we're thinking, okay, he's young, he's a bhakta. But in comparison, you know, he is 30 years old. Senior to Mahaprabhu. He's 16 years senior to Lord Nityananda. So, when he sees the Thakur, he pays obeisance with respect. And on this occasion, the Thakur smiles in a sarcastic manner. And the Lord picks this mood. He detects, okay, he's sarcastic. He's laughing, he's smiling. He's not particularly happy. And the Thakur says to the Lord, he says, why are you wasting your time? You should be chanting. You should be performing sankirtan. Not this studying of yours. Not running this school of yours on Vedanta. Give it up. He says that. And that's when it really sunk into Gauranga Mahaprabhu, because he knows everything anyway. He's in total independence, Swatantra. The title given to the Lord is Swatantra, fully independent. A few days later, the Lord thinks, okay, I need to now get initiated into the Vaishnav sect. And he travels to Gaya and he takes initiation. Why? Because the Thakur Shribas mentions this, that, you know, stop messing around, You've not got much time. You're only going to be around here for 48 years. You know, preach, perform Sankirtan. Forget the Vedanta philosophy. So this was quite unique. But in Sri Vaisangan, of course, after Mahaprabhu then takes sannyas, sorry, before sannyas, takes initiation, he is then addicted to chanting the holy name. And at that time, you know, it's confidential. Sri Vaisangan, not everyone is allowed. It's a ticketed system. You have to purchase a ticket. If you don't have a ticket, you can't come through. And so many are not able to come through. There are many who want to. You know, Aker there has purchased that ticket. He's got it for not just this life, for many lives to come and previously as well. So you've got to qualify yourself. And there are people who want to gate crash. And one person who gate crashed is the mother-in-law. The mother-in-law of the Thakur. The mother of Malini Devi. She's the mother. I mean, you know, she should have all the rights of going anywhere and everywhere. But because she's the mother-in-law, you know, there is certain etiquette to follow. And the Thakur being very magnanimous, Srivas Thakur is exceptionally, exceptionally magnanimous. He would allow anyone and everyone. Mahaprabhu would interject, hey, hang on a minute, this is a closed shop, don't just give any invitation. Have you booked your ticket? No. Don't just allow anyone. Mahaprabhu would get upset. So anyway, the Thakur on this occasion allowed his mother-in-law, look, hide away. Hide near this pot and just observe. And that's what she did. For her, there's no invitation because it's her daughter's home. And that particular evening, Mahaprabhu was not happy. And he's turned to the Thakur and says, look, you know, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling the bhav. I'm not feeling the prema. What's going on? Is there someone whose gate crashed? And the Thakur had to, unfortunately, you know, she's my mother-in-law. Remove her. She's not allowed. And then on another occasion, this Brahmana approaches the Thakur. And this Brahmana, you know, he's so very austere, so very learned in the scripture. And he's so austere that he's only surviving in milk. He only takes milk, nothing else. So he's well known for his austerity. And so he approaches the Thakur. Look, can I just please, just a few minutes. Not long, I won't be there for long. They won't even know I'm there. I know I don't have the ticket, but you know, be merciful. Do I really need the ticket? It's fully booked. I can't go online. How can I get this ticket? Be merciful. Just allow me in. So, okay. Srivas Thakur, once again, being such a magnanimous person, you hide behind this screen. No one will see you. So the Brahmana hides behind this screen. And of course, Gauranga Mahaprabhu begins his kirtan. And he's chanting away. And my time is so limited. He's chanting. And of course, the Lord then stops. And he says, hang on a minute, summons the Thakur, there's a gate crasher. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling the bhava. Who's the gate crasher? Oh, my Lord, I'm terribly sorry, but this Brahmana. What Brahmana? Why is he here? The Lord loses it. He becomes very angry. Of course, the Thakur for him is mercy. Bring the, remove this Brahmana. And the screen just kind of drops and this Brahmana, he's exposed and he's running towards the entrance or the exit rather. He's running towards the exit of the courtyard. And Mahaprabhu literally grabs him. And he becomes so very merciful. He plonks both his feet on the head of the Brahmana. course, when the Brahmana receives such mercy, the devotees who were present, Hari Bol, they were in ecstasy. And then Mahaprabhu turns to the Thakur and he says, look, you know, whether you're performing austerity, whether you're having just milk once a day to sustain your body, it has no significance, for I am after bhakti. I am after devotion. Nothing else can purchase me. Do you think that all these austerities can purchase me? No. So he gives that lecture. He gives a whole lecture on it. And then, of course, also the mercy is received by the Sudra servant of the Thakur, the Dobiwala. He receives a similar thing. So there are accounts of such occasions. And of course, what we are reminded of is when a very unique occurrence takes place, when Srivast Thakur, just like he has four brothers, and there are five in total. Similarly, the Thakur Srivast has five sons. And one of his sons, unfortunately, leaves. He has to depart, vacate the premises. And he leaves when the kirtan is about to begin. 90 minutes into the kirtan of that particular evening, he leaves. And so the ladies of the house, they're wailing away. They're crying because he's left. And they're very, very sad. So the Thakur immediately goes into the inner chambers of the of Sribasangan, appeases the women and gives such an important instruction to the women. He's so very gentle. And he says, why are you lamenting? For the body is temporary. Don't lament. Chant the holy name of the Lord. And don't advertise that he's left. Don't make a whole commotion out of it until the early hours of the morning, when the kirtan has naturally come to an end. Do not disturb the sankirtan. Do not disturb the chanting, for the Lord will be disturbed. And so immediately, you know, the ladies are pacified, appeased. 9 hours later, it's mentioned, 9 hours later, Mahaprabhu suddenly stops. Because he's dancing. Gauranga Mahaprabhu not just dances on the earth itself, but he dances in the air as well. Lord Nityananda and Mahaprabhu dance in the air. And they even touch their heads with their own feet. And they're competing with each other to touch each other's feet. Lord Nityananda, you know, tries to grab the feet of Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gauranga Mahaprabhu tries to grab the feet of Lord Nityananda. All this business is going on. Anyway, all of a sudden, Mahaprabhu stops after 9 hours. I'm not feeling it, once again. I'm not feeling that bhava. There's something going wrong. Has an inauspicious event taken place? Something inauspicious. And immediately then, he's told that the boy has left. He's passed away. So immediately the Lord summons the Thakur Shribas comes in front of the Lord. Why you didn't tell me? You know, it's someone has died. You're not telling me. Well, I didn't want to interrupt the chanting. The sankirtan is more important than anyone dying. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu was so very happy with that. And Mahaprabhu was so exceptionally happy that he carries the body of this young boy. Of course, prior to that, Mahaprabhu does perform an absolute miracle, for he brings the boy back to life. And when the boy comes back to life, the devotees are in absolute shock, as it were, for the Mahaprabhu has performed the miracle. And he questions the boy, just like it's similar to, you know, in the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Chitraketu, his son going, leaving at the age of 10, and Narad Muni brings him back. So he questions this. Anyway, the boy says what he does, and then, of course, he does depart once again, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu takes his body personally to the Ganges and offers the body to the Ganges, and the Ganges herself embraces the body of this personality, and somehow the waters of the Ganges embrace the feet of the Lord. The Ganges is worshipping the Lord, and then the body is taken away. Such are the pastimes of the Lord. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Srivas Thakur ki jai. So Prabhus, there is no end. There is no end to the glories of Srivas Thakur, Srivas Pandit. For the devotees who are totally surrendered to the Lord's mission continue to exist. And where they are, so too are the Panchatattva. Srivas Thakur ki jai. I do very much apologize. It is 8:34 according to that clock. Does anyone have any questions, comments? Your breakfast, incidentally, is getting cold. Thank you. Naturally, the Panchatattva are so exceptionally important to us. The more we know of them, the better. And it's personalities like Srivas Thakur who we have to be so very conscious of. For a week ago was Gaur Purnima, and today, I would say, equally as important is the appearance of Srivas Thakur. Thank you all very, very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srivas Thakur ki jai. Thank you.